All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to Sports Byline USA. It is Tuesday in our first hour, and we check in with our friends at SalesportTalk.com. As always, co-hosting the next two segments will be our friend Karen Lyle. And Karen, by the way, I just want to say thank you for helping us get a hold of Toronto Raptors head coach Nick Nurse, who spent about a half hour with me yesterday on the show. It was very cool, and he said that his piano has also been, or nearly been found by piano finders.
That's true. That's true. Actually, Nick and I have been talking about every two or three days. So it's you know, we're pursuing this baby.
Very good. All right. Christopher Kane joins us as well. He is our America's Cup insider. And after much planning and much sailing, when the moon hits your eye like a big piece of pie, that's amore. Luna Rosa, the red moon, Prada Pirelli, they win the Prada Cup, which means that in less than 2 weeks, the Italians will take on the Kiwis in the America's Cup. Christopher, I understand they won the series over Team UK 7-1, so they right now are full of confidence.
Yeah, they are on the roll. And, you know, it's funny because I don't want to toot our own horn, but I'm going to toot our own horn that one of the first America's Cup broadcasts we did with you, we did a little segment about the weather. And we pointed out the fact that the races at the end of the year and beginning of this year were going to have more wind, and then the wind was going to slowly die down going into the America's Cup. And if you looked at the weather conditions in March, they were actually lighter than they were in December. And our concern at the time was, if you build a boat that's going to do better in the heavy air, do you not do well in the America's Cup? Or do you do a cup that kind of gets hammered and maybe doesn't get through the trials and then doesn't perform well in the America's Cup? And it kind of pointed to the fact that the boat that was going to get through was probably going to be an all-around boat, a boat that was not superb in any one condition, but good in all of them. And it turns out that that is exactly what Luna Rossa did, is they were able to build a boat that was, you know, maybe not as fast upwind as the Americans, maybe not as fast downwind as the British, but performed well all around, and that got them through it. And suddenly they're very well positioned for the Cup.
Well, you know, one of the things that I noticed, especially in the last two races, in the seventh and eighth race, was how much the rules of the road really made a difference in Luna Rossa taking this win. You saw that rule of, you know, in Auckland that you have to give away when overtaking, you know, and there's that point where Ineos is, you know, crossed the line with a slim lead on race number seven, but their advantage didn't last for long, and Luna Rossa was able to match their speed and get ahead. And then when Ineos was coming up from behind, the right of rule we applied because basically they had to give way for Luna Rossa, who was ahead, because of that rule. And then later it got turned around, and Luna Rossa did not give way, but they got a penalty. What did you think of that?
Well, actually, the penalty was for a slightly different thing. The thing that we saw was that part of what makes Luna Rossa such a great all-around boat is you hear the phrase velocity made good tossed around a lot when you're watching the America's Cup broadcast. What does that mean? Well, what that means is, obviously, in a sailboat, as we've talked about, you can't sail directly where you're going. You have to kind of sail at an angle. And so you can sail further away from the wind and go faster, or closer to the wind, which is a shorter route but slower. So sort of that optimal place in between those two angles is velocity made good. So you're always trying to sail high enough towards the mark that you're not sailing too far, but low enough that you got good speed. And what Luna Rossa has proven is they can hold a higher angle at a higher speed. And so what you saw in those two crossings is when Luna Rossa was underneath the British, they were able to point up and basically slowly work their way into the British boat, and they had to give way. but the British boat couldn't work their way into the Italian. So even though they both at a certain point had the same advantageous position, only Luna Rossa could actually take advantage of it because of their ability to what we call point closer to the wind than the British. And that's one of the surprising things about the boat is usually if you point closer to the wind, you slow down rather dramatically in some cases. And Luna Rossa was able to hold their speed, and that was pretty dramatic.
Luna Rossa, by the way, making it back for the second time a couple decades ago, same situation facing New Zealand. And Christopher, from what I was reading about that in 2000, Luna Rossa had to beat our friend Paul Kiard, who's been on the show. The America won best of nine series 5-4. In some cases, the boats were merely just feet away from each other and winning just by a nose. But then they went to take on Team New Zealand and Russell Coutts, and the Kiwis made quick work of them.
Yep, they did. And you know, I don't think we're going to see that happen. I don't think one of these teams is going to run the other team off the water. I think, and again, remind, there's a huge data set that none of us have. Now, we're all going to be experts and make our proclamations, but we're doing so without actually any data whatsoever, which is the fact that we don't actually know, A, how fast in conditions New Zealand boat is, or how fast it is in comparison to the Italians. And we can make a lot of guesses, but the reality is we're not going to know until day one. But my guess, again, based on a positive data, but my guess is this is actually going to be a very competitive America's Cup. I think these are two teams that have their boats dialed up very well, understood the conditions. And don't forget, too, that there's this weird thing about the America's Cup where there is the defender, and then one of the challenging syndicates becomes the challenger of record. And they basically rewrite the rules from scratch every America's Cup. And that negotiation is done by the defender and by the challenger of record, who basically represents all the challengers. And they negotiate what the rules will be for that America's Cup. The challenger of record this time around was the Italians. So they may not have been able to get their boat into the water faster than anybody else by being challenger record, but they did know the rule better, sooner than the other syndicates did. And I think that played out well, too. I think this is going to be a very competitive America's Cup.
You know, Christopher, we've had a chance to see these boats racing. I know when we started, before they had hit the water and we'd had a chance to see them compete against each other, you were really not a fan of the monohull foiling boats. But haven't they given us some good races?
Yes and no. They are extremely wind dependent, more so than the catamarans were in San Francisco. So one of the things that, you know, we saw in this final series between the Italians and the British was if you won the start, you kind of won the race. There were no passing lanes on this course. And I'm not a big fan of that. What was great in San Francisco, and Paul Kiard said it when I interviewed him for, I think it was Huffington Post, but when I interviewed Paul Kiard, before the America's Cup even started in San Francisco, he said this is going to be a great cup because there's going to be passing lanes all around the course. And he was right. And I don't think that makes for great sailing when the start, we're back to the old days of the 12 meters where the start basically wins the race. And I don't think that's good for racing.
Last question.
Well, I think it's been, sorry about that, Rick. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Karen.
You know, Christopher, this is just the one place where we disagree. I really like these monohulls. And I think that this racing has been exciting. The boats have been really fast. And we've actually, I believe we've broken a speed record on this because of the 51 knots. I think SailGP was able to get 50 out of the races, and this one was 51. So there's been some exciting racing.
Speed is fun, but, you know, more people watch NASCAR than drag racing. So, yeah, speed's great. Competition's better.
We can disagree, and I think that Rick is going to take us out into the break sometime soon. Is that right, Rick?
Pulling us out of the ring.
Yes, and I want to let everybody know that they can call the Piano Finders call-in line, which is 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. And, yeah, everybody has their own taste, obviously. You guys are both sailing fans. It's like, you know, more people watch NASCAR, but I think we could all agree that, like, open wheel racing is I don't know. There's something. Would you agree more romantic, the open wheel racing, and better cars to look at aesthetically, Chris?
I think it's been on what you really like. I mean, if you like, you know, close bunched up racing, you know, NASCAR is great. If you're into technology, F1 is great. It's. I think one of the fun things about the America's Cup is it's kind of a mashup. Right, it's about the athletes, it's about the boats, it's about the weather, it's about the design. I think that's what makes it unique. For me, though, I want the races to be in doubt. And right now, we're not. You know, the start is winning the race, and I don't like that.
All right, so we will take a quick break. And by the way, if you want to get in on any questions throughout the week, if you go to salesport.com and check that out, and there are always videos and links and other such things. And the number to call here is 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. Where else are you going to get these updates? As I said, we are less than 2 weeks away from the actual thing. We've been talking about this for months, and it's nearly upon us. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back with Karen Lyle and Christopher Kane on Sports Byline USA.
They promise you love till death do us part. I wonder if my parents will ever be apart. My mommy job is a knife. I thrill to see her and daddy's wife. And daddy swims our gun.
Welcome to the Vendée Globe podcast, featuring voices from the ocean. There's a big queue for people visiting the race pontoon. There's a number of Imokas, of course, on the pontoon. One or two skippers still around, and it's holiday time. Weather's not too bad, and so there's many people going down the pontoon to see the race boats. In the meantime, we spoke today with Ari Husela, with Alexia Barrier, and indeed with Isabel Joshk. Starting off with Alexia Barrier, as you probably know, she has a pretty bad back injury. She fell over a few days ago now. She was changing her clothes, in fact, and she fell on top of something. And so her mobility is very much reduced. She's trying to protect it as much as possible and reduce the amount that she moves around the boat. But in the meantime, she's downwind and things are not too bad. And as ever, you'd expect with Alexia, she's putting a very brave face on it, but looking forward to being finished. And this is Alexia today.
Yes, my back hurts a lot, but with our doctor, Jean-Yves Chauve, he gave me some good prescription of medicine, so killing the pain, and that allows me to move a little on the boat, do few maneuvers. I try to do less maneuvers as I can, because it's hard for me to walk on the boat and to stand up. And to grind, so I tried to manage to do the more economic sailing I can do, and but I'm in a good mood. I'm so happy to be so close to the finish line, and that's the only thing that's important for me now.
Do you know what the problem is? Is it muscular, or is it disc, or?
For now, we don't know, because I should, you know, pass some exams like scans or go in radiotherapy. And we know that the muscles are bad, but maybe something is broken. I don't know the name of the thing in English. It's apophyse in French. Mm-hmm. It's a little tiny bone that holds the vertebra, and maybe something is broken. We don't know yet. And as soon as I will arrive, Jean-Yves Chauve did already organize everything to go to the hospital and do the exams. But, you know, I hope I will feel better, because I really want to hold the champagne bottle and to spray the champagne on everybody. If I cannot carry the bottle of champagne, I will be sad.
All right, Sports Byline USA on Tuesday. Tuesdays, as I mentioned, the first hour, we check in with Karen Lyle at SailsportTalk.com about all things out on the water, racing sailboats, what have you, all areas of the sport and genre. And Christopher Kane, a local friend who is an America's Cup aficionado, joins us for another segment. If you'd like to get in on the Piano Finders phone line, it is 1-800-878-PLAY. And Karen, it brings to mind a thought that just hit me. I guess you're not going to the America's Cup because it's less than 2 weeks away and your quarantine would have already had to have started. Is that right?
Well, you know, I probably could have pulled it off with a call to the ambassador and an emergency application for getting in. But this whole thing that happened with the shutdown for 72 hours because a family was found with COVID and none of the fans were able to come, you know, it really gave me pause because I could go through quarantine. I could sit there and not be able to go and see the race and be stuck in a hotel room somewhere because of a COVID outbreak. And that's just that was just probably I decided that I'm going to see probably as much as I'm going to see from here.
Very good. So, Christopher, one thing that I noticed about the final race was that, and as you know, once again, I'm sort of the regular listener, the newbie to all this, was that both teams had to slow down right before the race started because they were going to hit the start line too fast. And I would imagine that's something that must be very disappointing when you're getting all this speed and it's like, oh, we're gonna cross the line too quickly. We got to slow down. I mean, how hard is that?
Yeah, in these boats, it's incredibly difficult. With monohulls, it's a lot easier. But, you know, if there's one thing that sailors hang their hats on, it's time on distance. That's our bread and butter. And time on distance is being able to look at a boat that you're going to be crossing, looking how far a marco is away, and being able to quickly just kind of in your head figure out, well, I'm about 40 seconds away, I'm about 30 seconds away. And, you know, with these, and again, we've mentioned this before, these aren't just brand new boats to the America's Cup. These are brand new boats. There's never been boats like this before. We're still, after, you know, hundreds of hours of racing, we're still seeing the crews mistime these starts. And you know, yeah, it's disappointing. But it's also, you know, the penalty is a lot higher on these boats than it is on a normal monohull. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, I got to slow down. Oh, my God. I have to go from 11 knots to 7 knots. That's not the end of the world as you know it. But if you're on a foiling monohull that you know, is doing 30 or 40 knots and all of a sudden you drop down to 15 and bottom out, that's the race. So, you know, one of the things that we've also seen is basically it's one attack and done. So normally in a pre-start, and again, this is weird with sailing, the race actually starts before it starts. The boats kind of enter the starting area before the starting gun, duel it out, and the goal is to, as you pointed out, Rick, hit the line right as the gun goes to zero at full speed. And the problem is, of course, the other boat's trying to do the exact same thing. So that's where the fun of the pre-start comes. And normally you'll see the boats really go at each other. And basically what we're seeing in this America's Cup is you'll see one attack from one boat, and then that's it. Because they're more concerned with staying on their foils than they are with getting disadvantaged against the other boat. And what that leads to sometimes is both boats just kind of bumbling their way into the line because they're scared to attack. And that's when you wind up with what happened in that race, where all of a sudden they're both like, oh boy, got to slow down. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. And I think this is one thing that you can put a question mark around the Kiwis, which is they haven't had to do a competitive start. And time on distance is obviously still, after all these weeks of racing, a problem in these boats. So you can make an argument that's actually an advantage for the Italians.
You know, Christopher, I'm going to have to agree with you definitely on the fact that in the start, it is we haven't been seeing the same contest that we have in some other races in the past. But I also want to call you on something. And when we went to break, I couldn't speak in my defense. And that was that you made an assumption that it was just really more just about raw speed that interested me about these boat designs. But I have to say, I'm a technology geek, and what really interests me is how they solve the problem of cavitation, which is that I think around 47 knots, the water starts to boil on the surface of the foil, and it slows everything down. And I remember, you know, when talking to Russell Coutts about this for CLGP back in, when it was in San Francisco, and they hadn't broken that 50 yep. knot barrier, you know, because they were still trying to get over that cavitation problem. You know, so for me, part of this race is seeing how the design and the design really is able to solve that problem. So it's kind of like, you know, I'm a bit of a technology geek design geek when it comes to these things. And so I'm the challenge, the race is not just about what's done on the water, but it's what's done off the water. And so anyway, I had to speak in my defense on that, Christopher.
Oh, no, it's been fun to watch all the work that's been done on the foils, and changing the foil designs. At one point, the British had almost a W design with their foils. There were multiple angles in the foil. And it's been fun to watch them all kind of figure out how to get these aerodynamic services through the water as quickly as possible with the least amount of drag and cavitation. And also the other problem, which is you have to get them in and out of the water quickly too. So that has implications to how fat they are. That has implications for how long they are. And yeah, it's been fascinating watching it. I mean, there's a reason why Airbus is always involved with the America's Cup with one of the teams. I would not be surprised to see, you know, applications shifting over to airplanes.
So the races will begin on March 6th, and that'll be at 4 p.m. New Zealand time. And knowing that that area of the world is anywhere from 14 to 16 hours ahead,
yep.
How are you going to watch it? What time and where can you watch it, Christopher?
It's 7 o'clock in the evening. The night before is when you watch it. So Karen
and I.
That's
perfect.
Yeah. So you know, it's America's Cup with dinner. They used to do breakfast at Wimbledon, and it's dinner with the America's Cup, and it's NBC has got a package, which is really cool. And there's also places you can watch it on the internet as well as the America's Cup site itself. So lots of different ways to watch it.
I want to say that I'm really looking forward to the time when we can have a watch party in the same room. You know, we're Christopher, you and I are going back and forth with these little texts, and it just doesn't have the same
emotional.
Yeah,
we're texting each other during the races.
Right. And then Patty Mangan is also texting me. She's, you know, making your comments. So I'm, you know, I'm, but it would be so much better to be just in the room having that watch party. I'm looking forward to it.
Agreed.
And Christopher, I think we should also remind people that when we think of Luna Rossa, it's not Giuseppe Pontevecchio at the helm. It's not just Italians, is it?
Well, we do have our good friend Jimmy Spittle. And, I'm actually friends with Jimmy, so obviously I'm rooting for the Italians. But these boats, and we should point out that this time around, the nationality rule was far more in effect this time. So the majority of this boat is Italian, and the majority of the Kiwi boat are Kiwis. You've got a couple Americans, Australians flopping around, but unlike America's Cup past, these are national teams. And by the way, they tried Giuseppe. He's just dog terrible at the helm, you know.
Well, Jimmy Spittle's going to be taking over as captain for the USA team for SailGP when that starts up. And we're losing them in San Francisco. I guess they've moved to Texas. What is the deal with that?
Everybody's moving to Texas.
Yeah, just in time to have it snow.
What are we talking about? Galveston Bay and Corpus Christi, San Pedro Island around there?
I have a sister in Galveston right now. So, I've been thinking about her.
But is that where they're going to race, and just off the coast of the Gulf there?
Well, Phil GP will be back in San Francisco in 2022. So we were one of the first races of CLGP. We are going to be one of the last races now. So CLGP, for those who don't know, it's the 50-foot catamarans from the last America's Cup done as a league. And since, of course, folks are very familiar with those boats, there's a lot more teams. So that is one thing I love about CLGP is you get seven or eight national teams instead of two or three that you do at the America's Cup. But part of the reason is they used a class that people were familiar with. There was old versions of the boats you could buy. And CLGP is a blast. You know, like Karen said, they are fast little boats. And they're fun to watch, you know, a whole fleet of them going at it at the same time. The mark roundings are just insane in CLGP. You almost always wind up with one boat on one foil hanging on for dear life. It's like watching that first turn, Rick, in Formula One. That first turn is always where the chaos is. With CLGP, that's every mark.
Wow. So, Karen, it's interesting. You talk about what a ringer this guy Spithill is. What a soldier of fortune. He's already been hired after this to come over to the America's GP team.
Well, he was before this great performance. So I actually was going to bring him on the show to talk about CLGP, him, Russell Coutts, about a month ago. But just because of all the, you know, the things that were happening with the American Magic team and everybody, you know, all the stuff that was happening, we just decided to wait until after, you know, until there was a little break. But there, we'll be talking to Jimmy Spithill and Russell Coutts sometime in the future about the CLGP. So
yeah, and,
we'll just
and give Christopher, him. I guess American Magic was aptly named because it disappeared.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, the
now
magic
you see him,
is
now
still
you
there.
Don't.
The magic is still there. It really is. We're just not in this race.
All right. I want to, as I said, we only have another week to talk about this because it's going to get going on the 6th, and that would be the 5th at 7 p.m. out here in California. So we'll check in again next week with our friends at Salesport.com. Of course, as always, Karen Lyle and our friend Christopher Kane. Thank you both, and we'll talk next week.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Rick and Christopher. We'll see you soon.
All right, sounds good. And we'll take a quick break and come on back on the show.